Football Saturday continues with WSBT Game Day. Here's your host, Evan Sharpley.
Happy New Year. We're back. This is the Game Day Show. Woo-hoo! We're up bright and early. Well, maybe not too bright, but indeed early for this morning after New Year's Eve. It is just after 9:05 right now, and the Notre Dame Fighting Irish kickoff today at 1 p.m. against the LSU Tigers. We'll get last-minute pregame reports on the Notre Dame-LSU Citrus Bowl game and look at what's in store for Notre Dame in 2018 with all the show's guests calling in from the site down there in Orlando, which is much warmer than here in our WSBT studios.
You think?
I'm Evan Sharpley, and for the next hour, I'm your host and tour guide as we prep for kickoff. And if this is your first time tuning in, this show is about setting the atmosphere, giving you a feel for the game day experience. We talk with former Irish players, and we'll discuss some X's and O's. Like I said, we're live from the WSBT studios in Mishawaka, Indiana, and riding shotgun with me for one more time here to close out the 2017 season, even though we're in 2018 now, is my producer, State Farm agent Tim Growl. Tim.
Good morning. I haven't seen you since last year.
Man. Rocking and rolling.
That's the dad line. You got to give out those things since last year. Yeah, a little frigid around here, but a lot.
How are you feeling?
There.
I know you had a New Year's Eve party last night.
Hey, I'm an old veteran, man. I got 2.5 hours sleep. I'm ready to go.
That was plenty? That's all you needed?
Yeah, that's all. Yep. Actually, I slept in a half hour longer than I really wanted to. About you? Quiet with the daughter and the wife?
Daughter went to bed early.
Yeah?
Yeah, so it was not much going on at the house.
You have a little, your own little private salute on New Year's and stuff like that, too. So
a little toast
I'm
and
not even sure what's in your cup there, either. You can see mine's clearly marked as Pure Life water. Yours is.
Are we sure that that's what's in there?
Well, that's true. Yeah, I'm not the white alcohol drinker, though. Something with a little color.
Mine's dark roast coffee.
Dark roast. Oh, man.
Already, this is the second pot on today already.
Okay. All right. Well, there's a lot of coffee going on down there in Orlando right now. Get ready for the game again. So it's hard to believe. It's the bowl game. It's New Year's.
It's here.
We were just talking before we started. No buzz in this game. You know, I'm watching ESPN, all the different things. You know, everybody's talking about the two games later today, rightly so.
There really is a great slate of games, though, today, starting at noon. And Notre Dame being one of those, too. I don't know why it's getting missed out as far as publicity. But obviously, it's going to be overshadowed by the two playoff games. A lot of talk around those, of course, and certainly so.
And the Scott Frost, his last game.
Right.
Playing.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, a lot of people want to see if UCF is for real. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of the natural thread in that game, too, is whether or not, you know, the buzz around their program is real or not. And then certainly Frost leaving for Nebraska, too. So we'll see. We got a great lineup. And, you know, for Notre Dame, it's going to be potentially getting to 10 wins. And I think that, you know, that would be important moving into 2018. Is it a must-win game? I don't know if it necessarily is a must-win game. I think, you know, aside from looking at the final record, it just would do some great things as far as moving into this postseason, into this offseason here, you know, with some good vibes.
Right. Well, and I'm going to be real interested in all of our guests today down in Orlando here, what their take is, because a lot of the fans, it's a must-win game, right?
Yeah.
The fickle Notre Dame
fans.
Well,
you don't want to lose.
No, but everybody's got big expectations. They want to see Brandon's got to pass for 75% today.
Does
you
he?
Know, the running game's got to, there are people talking at all over the
all
place.
These check marks, all these boxes got to be checked.
That's a high load, a rock to carry up the hill today. But anyway.
Just win, baby.
Just win, baby. Let's go with our first guest because he's been waiting for us and everything. So
we've got
and
former,
I'm excited about having
former
him.
Former Notre Dame captain, NFL linebacker, and member of the ESPN Radio Citrus Bowl broadcast team, Rocky Bowman. Rocky, how are you?
Fellas, good morning. How are you?
How set the scene down there for us.
I'll tell you what, it's actually right now, I'm sitting outside here. It's about 55 degrees, but look, I'm from Cincinnati. You guys are in South Bend, so who's complaining, right?
I mean, you got
you
it.
Kinda tell the people that are, you can tell the people that are here from out of town, from colder climates like myself, because you know, yesterday we're walking around in shorts and T-shirts and everything like that, and people down south, you know, they still have the jackets on and everything, but it's a beautiful thing being down here this time of year.
We were just talking about the expectations for this game and finishing out this 2017 season, you know, following the 4-8 year, you know, certainly, you know, some things moving in the right direction. What are your expectations for today's game and what's kind of the general feel from the Notre Dame fan base as far as what they're expecting as well?
Yeah, I think with both fan bases, both teams are eager for a win. You always want to finish the season off with a win because it just propels you, springboards you into the next season. I can give you an example. My freshman year at Notre Dame, we lose the Gator Bowl, and then what's that springboards us into a 5-7 season. You know, you just kind of, you want to win that game because everything, you kind of start fresh, you got a good feeling, everything seems to be positive. So I think especially with, the good things and the bad things that both these teams did, both are going to be hungry to get that final win and then wrap up some recruiting here and move on to the next season.
Tim Grown, Evan Sharpley from the WSVT Studios, talking football with former Irish and NFL linebacker Rocky Bowman, who's in Orlando for today's game. Rocky, I think I read, is this the first time that you've actually covered for ESPN Notre Dame game?
It actually is. I've been with ESPN, I want to say this is like my, fifth year or so. It never got close to sniffing doing a Notre Dame game, so I was overjoyed when I saw it on the sheet when they released the bowl assignments to be a part of this, and just looking forward to being down there on the field and seeing some old faces and seeing Andrew Denson and some of those guys that I played with, but then as a proud alumni to be able to look out on the field there and be involved at least to some degree in the game there is really, really special.
So you don't have a problem calling them the way you see them. I followed your career, and then I've read some articles and stuff, so you're honest. So something's not going the right way. You're going to point it out today, too, I take it, with your freshness that you give.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah, you have to, because I think the number one thing a listener or a viewer wants is honesty. No one wants to be bullcrapped all day, right, no matter if it's the home team or not. So, you point out the good things, and you also point out the bad things and things that need to be adjusted a bit or need to be addressed, but I think that's you kind of owe that to no matter what game it is. So in that sense, it's not going to be any different. I'm not going to be, I can't be a homer for Notre Dame, but I'm certainly not going to throw them under the bus either. I'm looking forward to a great contest. There's so many great players here, especially for Notre Dame, and I'm really excited to get out here in a few hours here and be a part of it.
Well, Rocky, let's hear it then. You've seen the team this year in 2017. What's been the good? What's been the bad? And what do they need to fix here moving into 2018 to have a really good season?
There's been a bunch of good guys. I think number one, from my perspective, I look at the defense. I think the defense simplified under Elko. And I like Brian Van Gorder a lot. And I talked to him a few days ago because he was with Oklahoma State when we did that game. But I thought his defense was maybe a little complex, lots of zone blitzes and moving parts and things like that. And my philosophy, just having played the game my whole life, is if you got 4- and 5-star guys, especially young 4- and 5-star guys, don't make it complicated. Let them go out there, let their natural ability take over. I always hated as a player when the coach would try to out-scheme the other team. Look, just put me in a position where I can make a play and I can make the team, help the team out here. And I think Elko's really done that. You look at Coney, you look at Tranquil. I think those guys, and Morgan especially, I think he's really benefited from this simpler scheme out there. So I think that's a huge positive from my perspective, and then also the running game. There's nothing more in this day and age of chucking around the park and basketball on grass than I like seeing it as an offensive line firing off the ball, moving bodies off the ball, and big 225, 230-pound running backs running downhill. I think those two things, at least to me, stand out as tremendous positives this year.
Rocky, Notre Dame loses two big offensive linemen in Quentin Nelson and Mike McGlinchey. A couple of guys, one being Josh Adams, could be his last game today for Notre Dame. In that light, and a couple of guys on defense too, what do you think are going to be the biggest holes to fill in 2018?
Well, I think just in general, I think that the safety position is something that needs to be addressed. Any Notre Dame fan will tell you that's been a place where there's been some question marks and things like that. So moving forward there, but then look, when you have a veteran offensive line, it's fantastic until the end of the season comes up. You got to replace those guys. So I wish I could tell you what freshmen out there are looking really good in bowl practices and things like that, but I just think that's going to be important. Just in today's football, with how small defenses are getting smaller because they want to they got to play out in space with all these spread offenses. I think anytime you can have a dominant offensive line and a dominant run game, you're in the driver's seat. With less physicality going on in today's game, I think that's really, really important, and so hopefully they'll be able to address that. And I think they will. Look, this this team is stocked with, you know, again, lots of 4- and 5-star guys, lots of good coaches, so I think they'll be able to make it happen.
If there's one big looming question, either on the offensive side or the defensive side, what do you see that being, and how does Brian Kelly make sure he gets that resolved in the spring and then into the fall?
Well, there's no question it's Brandon Wimbush. It's the quarterback position and he did so much good. I loved his ability to run. I loved his ability to make plays, third downs, things like that. But in today's college football, especially with this Brian Kelly style of offense, you cannot have a quarterback completing 49% of his passes. It's impossible. It can't happen. And when there's so many times this year, you look out there and there's an open guy, and he's 7 yards away. He's right there, just hitting with the pass. And for whatever reason, maybe it's just a continuity kind of thing, and maybe he's got to get more reps. Some of those passes didn't seem to get there. I mean, you know, you look at the great program. Baker Mayfield is completing 71% of his passes. That is the number one thing in these spread style of offenses that are designed to get the ball to the playmakers. You got to complete the passes. So, look, I just hope here in the offseason, maybe this will be a, you know, kind of a transitional game for that and Brandon Wimbush. But in the offseason, I personally want to hear stories about how much work he's getting in with the wide receivers in the offseason, how many balls they're catching a day. I think it's a repetition thing. It's just getting out there and just throwing pass all the time. Hitches, curls, slants, everything. Just the more times you do it, I think for Brandon Wimbush, that'll just add to, I mean, the impeccable skills he already has. I think he irons that out and they address that. I think it'll be a really good season next year as well.
You're listening to WSBT's Game Day Show as we get you ready for today's Citrus Bowl game by visiting with a member of the Citrus Bowl's ESPN radio team, Rocky Bowman. Rocky, four-year-old son, and you played football. Let me ask you about a couple of topics out there. What do you feel about the concussion things that's been going on in the future of football, and would you let your son play football?
I think personally there's been a demonization of the game of football, and you know, and we live in a sensationalist style of media these days with social media, and everything seems to be exacerbated. And I think especially the game of football has been under assault. But the fact of the matter is, guys, the game of football has never been safer. And I'm talking from a, you know, a youth level, a high school level, college level, and pro level, every level. Because there's been some focus on it, which has been good. There's been a lots of rule changes. Coaches are more educated to not get out there and just start beating the crap out of guys and taking care of their bodies. The equipment has gotten better. So I think as much as we see the horrors of it, you know, the game of football overall is safer. Now, it's a game where there's violence, and there's going to be things, and you can only do so much to legislate violence, no matter what it is. If it's football, if it's a firefighter running into a burning building, whatever it is, only so much you can do and still keep the game what it is. So continue to, you know, make it safe, continue to, you know, do things to protect the players. But then after that, it is what it is. And I just personally think the game of football has so many more positives than it gets credit for. You know, a kid like myself that can, you know, who's the first kid in his family to go to college, right? And I wouldn't have had that opportunity if it had not been for football. I mean, I may have gone to a local college or something like that, but to go to Notre Dame, I mean, look, that changed my life. You know what I mean? So, and there's so many kids that get that opportunity because of the game of football. So as much as people want to point out the negatives, I continue to be an ambassador to point out the positives of this great game.
What about playing these players that don't want to play in bowl games and stuff? What's your take on that?
That's a tough one. It really is, because, you know, the from a personal standpoint, you complete the journey. Whatever you sign up for, you complete it. You know, I was taught that way. If you start something, you finish it. But what makes me kind of switch my mindset a little bit is, I think if I had a son, right, and he was 21 years old, or I do have a son, when he gets to be 21 years old and is in that position, you know, for a game that's, you know, where there's different levels of, excitement from players and programs depending on the bowl it is. So I would think about that hard, but, you know, I think it's just one of those things for each individual person. You got to figure out what's best for you and move forward from there.
Hey, Rocky, thanks so much for taking some time today. Before we let you go, break down today's game and how you see it shaking out for Notre Dame.
Yeah, I think, number one, if you're a Notre Dame fan, you're listening to this game, the number one thing Notre Dame's defense has to do, you got to stop the jet sweep. And you watch LSU's offense, lots of movement, lots of moving parts, right? Shifts, motions, things like lots of misdirection. And if you don't handle the jet sweep, which that's going to fall on that safety, on those safeties back there who have been a little bit inconsistent, you got to be able to stop that. You got to stop number seven, DJ Chark, their best wide receiver. And I think you shut down those two things. I really think this Notre Dame team, especially with an offense and a running back and Josh Adams, who's looks to have that spring back in his step that he kind of lost there toward the end of the season with the injury. I think those things get taken care of, and Notre Dame can have a great day.
Rocky, we really appreciate you talking with Evan and I. And I've got so many more questions. I hope you don't mind, but next season we're going to call you during the season and get your thoughts about playing at Notre Dame and a few other things. But we want you to have a good call in the game today and a happy new year with your family.
Guys, thanks so much. Anytime, happy to join you, and we'll talk here soon. All right, go Irish.
Go Irish. That's Rocky Bowman, the middle linebacker for Notre Dame and the Colts. And you're on your home for Notre Dame football, 96.1 FM WSBT. This is Game Day with Evan Sharpley. We'll be right back with former Notre Dame and Colts player and chief orthopedic physician for the team, Brian Radigan.
This is two-time Notre Dame All-American Alan Pinkett. Now back to Game Day AM on WSBT. Go Irish!
It is also brought to you by Budweiser United Beverage, Carmella's at McCree's, Creative Colors International, the Food Bank of Northern Indiana, and Hearth and Home.
Happy New Year again to everybody out there. It's that workout mentality that you have. You just look like you're always ready to go on the field or lift some weights. And well, you're much younger than I am too, so I guess. I used to look like that too, maybe too. But anyway,
that was a good interview. It was great to have Rocky. I know we had a lot more to talk about too.
We do, and we got to get him back. You know, we've been really lucky this year. We've had a lot of new guests on.
Yeah.
You know what? We get a lot of our regulars, and we have fun with. We have certain Ross Brown, a lot of different people.
Luther Bob Bradley's Goldie, another one too.
Bob Goldie, that we love to have. But I just like getting these new players on, and we didn't even get to the fact that I just had read Rocky has called the last four Super Bowls for the BBC network.
I got to know how that got set up.
Anyway,
you know, and a couple of, you know, to his points, you know, he's going to be, you know, working as an analyst today. He talked about Brandon Winbush, and that's one big question, and brought up, you know, that Baker Mayfield's completing around 70% of his passes. And I just thought, you know, it's interesting, and Eric brought this up in one of the Sports Beat, weekday Sports Beat this past week, that Brandon Winbush has faced, I believe, over five defenses in the top 50, total defense.
Right.
And Mayfield has faced one or two total. Which just kind of goes to show you that the type of schedule, you know, that you're playing. Certainly, there's a case made for that too. But I think I'm not trying to downplay the success that the Heisman Trophy winner had.
Sure,
but
they don't play defense in the Big 12.
It is a little bit different too. So, you know, certainly that is one big question that's going to have to be answered during this offseason.
Are not LSU the top number seven for passing?
LSU's a great defense. Yeah, pass defense. So you know, it's an opportunity for this Irish offense to really put a stamp on this season, and you know, maybe it's not. As a player, you don't listen to the outside noise, but you certainly can feel it, you know, after how this season went, where there was a lot of success on the ground, there was inconsistency through the air. This is another opportunity, and maybe silence some of the own, you know, critics that you have in your own mind, or the guy that's sitting on your shoulder.
Sure.
But great defense again today.
Hey, we were talking about good friends. I think we made a good friend. I know you knew Dr. Radigan before I did, but we met him at the Shamrock Series game down in Indianapolis. We had him up in the booth, our only away game show, and he's become a really good friend of the show and stuff, and I just really enjoy talking to him. So from Orlando, and I think he's at the team hotel, but we'll find that out. Dr. Brian Radigan. Good morning, Brian. Happy New Year.
Good morning, Tim and Evan. Happy New Year, both of you.
Hey, how's your tan, Brian? You got a tan down there or what?
Oh, you know me. I always have a tan. as pale as can be. Now, it wasn't too warm down here this week. It was good for us because I know it's been terrible up there. You guys got 2 degrees up there?
I think it's minus, and the wind chill has been hovering around like minus 10 or minus 15 to start each morning.
I think I passed two cars in my 10-mile drive to work today.
Today? I might have passed.
We were waving each
other. Granted, it's the day after. I mean, it's New Year's Day, so I don't think too many people are going to be hanging out around. But, yeah, it's pretty cold.
Did you celebrate last night, Brian?
We did. Well, all the kids were here. They had a good time. I got a bunch of little ones, so they make some noise. get to midnight, and then everyone kind of hits a wall and crashes.
Well, Brian, talk to us about this week of preparation. What's it been like for the guys? I know it's always with the bowl game, it's a balance of focusing on work and then also enjoying and having some fun too. But what's it been like?
It's actually been a great week for these guys. A lot more fun than some of the bowls in the past, and not too much fun. They had a lot of activities for these guys, going to Universal, Disney, a lot of things set up so they could actually just get out and relax. And we talked to the guys, you know, standing around the pool during the day with the kids. They were all pretty relaxed. I think they were able to get their legs back a little bit over Christmas, hopefully. And maybe it'll show up on the field. I think they just actually enjoyed the week. They work pretty hard, I won't lie to you. Practice that first day, they beat the hell out of each other. So it's kind of good to get the cobwebs dusted off there after the Christmas break. I think Bayless wanted to make sure they knew what they were here for.
Were you at the, I just saw they were zip lining, and I want to know, those 300-some-pound linemen on a zip line, was everybody cringing, or did they not let a certain weight go on the zip line?
Well, I'll tell you, I wasn't underneath of them. That's for sure. They were letting them all go. I don't know what those things are made of, but they're pretty solid. Jeez. And they all did it. I mean, yeah, McGlinchey, all those clowns are up there. Q, that's impressive. It's impressive. They're big boys.
Well, this is WSBT's Game Day Show, and you're home for Fighting Irish football, including today's Citrus Bowl game at 1 p.m., and we're speaking from Orlando as Notre Dame football team chief orthopedic physician Brian Radigan. Brian, a month off, or close to a month off, what's the overall health of this team? I know you mentioned, you know, getting the legs back underneath, and certainly there are some practices leading up to that Christmas break, and then once they're on site, but what's kind of the grade right now, or report card for this team as far as the health is concerned?
You know, we're actually pretty thin, believe it or not. We lost a receiver and a tight end during bowl practice. They both had a shoulder injury. You guys probably saw that with Chase and Brock. Both those guys had to have shoulder surgery just a little over a week ago. So when you go to bowl practice, now we have three tight ends left. Now that Alizé's not here, that's a little odd. You want to practice and just seeing the three. You go three tight ends, there's nobody left. So a little thin there, a little thin at receiver. You know your reasons for that as well. So one guy being sent home. So there's just a little bit going on, and then running back, we're thin, having to send a guy home. So watching practices this week has been, you just kind of on edge a little bit. Hopefully everybody stays healthy for the game and we'll be fine. Otherwise, you know, the coaches, they always have something in mind. If something happens, then they're ready to call a different play. Defensively, I think we're doing okay, though. We got most of our guys there. We seem to be doing what we need to do, healthy.
Specifically to that offensive side, kind of taking off your orthopedic surgeon hat and looking at it as a former player, you know, what does that do to the game plan? How does that shift things a little bit? And what does Chip Long have to do to make sure that they're successful today?
Well, now you're testing me. This is when I'd love to make the calls, right? We all want to do that Monday morning quarterbacking. They're doing the same thing. You watch practice, it looks like they're doing a lot of the same. But I think they just have to be ready, right? I mean, you lose a tight end, you can't go three tight ends anymore. I mean, Brock used to be a fullback in our I formation, short yardage. We don't have that anymore. So you got to bring a lineman in for that, or just don't run it. So it's been interesting to watch how they do it. I don't know what they're going to do. I think it's going to be similar to what they've been doing. You know, and you get all the jib-jab down here, which has been fun. Equanimeous just was actually complimenting their DBs, saying how good they are, good a school they are, and how good they are. And, you know, of course, they only pull out a certain part of what he quoted, which was great, and says they think they're DBU, and then that starts a little battle between the two. So it's comical. You got to be careful what you say, because they're only going to say what they want, and they got him. So their DBs are fighting back, which adds some fun to it for sure.
Tim and Evan on WSBT's Game Day Show with former Irish and Colts player Brian Radigan. So I'm going to shift to the pros real quick. Any thoughts on Colts coaching search, who you'd like to see or anything? Was that painful as a former player watching this last year, or because everybody knew Andrew Luck was out and that's a majority of the team, some people thought it was understandable?
Evan, I'll tell you too, as a quarterback, if you don't have a quarterback in the NFL, you're not going to win. And that's what that league is based around. That there's a reason they're so valuable in that league. So when he's out, I mean, all the other guys are going to be there. But it's critical. I wasn't expecting much this year at all. You just can't do it. I mean, Luck's a good quarterback, but damn, I got to come in. And no, you know, I don't mean any disrespect to the other quarterbacks in the league. They're in the pros, right? They're good guys, but to be one of the top 10, top 15 quarterbacks in the NFL, you really, that's, those are the teams who have a chance. Look what happened with the Eagles. You know, Carson Wentz goes down, and they're struggling without him. So no surprise for the Colts at all.
So medically, his shoulder thing, is that something, and just from what you read, I know you're not his physician, but is that something
I'd
you've
seen?
I'd
love to know what's going on.
Yeah.
I'd love to know what's actually going on. I read that, and it's a little bit vague, and I'm sure it's purposeful, but I would truly love to exactly know what's going on. And when I head down to the combines in February, I'll probably get the true answer of what's going on down there. But right now, I'm not going to make the phone call and say, hey, tell me.
Sure.
But I'll wait till I get down there, and then all the docs talk, and I may or may not be able to tell you then, but it's usually not anything what you're reading.
So who's
that's
the new,
with Brian Kelly and everybody.
So who's the new Colts coach going to be when you make it to the combine?
I have no idea. I couldn't even predict. Do you have any ideas? What's your guess?
I don't know. Evan's a predictor here. We were just talking earlier about the same thing comes out all the time. Of course, they got Jim Harbaugh. The Bears won him and the Colts won him. You know, the same old thing. And Evan was saying, well, how soon is Brian Kelly's name after this game? Is it 1 minute after they finish the game that his name is thrown in the ring at all these different openings? Because there's going to be a lot of pro openings.
Yeah, I'd probably say Harbaugh's the one you hear the most of. And you never know. It's just because seems like he's good for about 3 or 4 years before he moves on, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's just because his personality is too volatile or if that's just kind of change the program and then move on and change another program. I know when he was with the Niners, we had guys saying that in the organization out there that I knew would say, you know, we weren't real big fans of Harbaugh 350 days of the year, but on game day, he was okay. And I played with Jim, so I can tell him he's real intense on game day and practice. I mean, he brought a different mentality, but for me, it was refreshing to play with him because I came off of Jeff George, who had all the talent in the world, but you know the effort wasn't the same as Jim Harbaugh. So it was just a little difference. You know, we needed a little kick in the butt. You know, Jeff was very, very talented, but Harbaugh came in with a little bit of, you know, attitude, showed up at all the workouts and kind of what the Colts needed at the time. And he was comeback player of the year that year in 95. So for me, I had a good feeling toward Harbaugh. You know, we didn't hang out together. We didn't head to the bars together, but I think now he's just got his thing. I don't know. He could go to the Colts. I just don't know how long they're going to tolerate that, right? Is he going to keep changing the Michigan? People are going to lose their mind if he leaves.
Did he wear khaki pants back in those days, too?
He did. He was plain Jane back then. Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, he wasn't the best dressed award, for sure.
Dog doesn't change his spots.
Nope, absolutely.
It'll certainly, this coaching carousel will certainly be interesting here this offseason. Well, let's quickly shift back before we let you go. Just give us your thoughts on today's game, this matchup against LSU, a really good defense. What's Notre Dame have to do to win?
Yeah, I think we got to run. We have to be able to run the ball. They're really good. I think we can. You know, Brandon, as you guys know, if he's on, he's on. And if he's picking him, we can do it. The passes are critical to open up some of the run as well. But we got some guys on the other line. We should be able to run. And everybody seems to be healthy. Josh is looking good. We got the running backs back. If we can't run, we're going to be in trouble. That's just because I think we can still pass the ball. You just never know what's going to happen there. We have a couple plays that are fun to watch. Hopefully they can throw them in there. There's always those things that people do at the bowl time, anxious to see what LSU throws out there. Everybody has a month to prepare. You know, they're going to show us something we haven't seen for the 12 game tapes, right? So it's always fun to be ready for something like that. Elko's, he's just one of my favorite guys out here. He's just a solid, solid guy. The players love him. He knows the game well, so I think he's looking forward to it as well, to go up against a pretty solid team. And, yeah, you know, it's just so much different if you can win this one. I mean, the attitude in the offseason is just so much different. When you win this game and you win 10 games, that's fine. But to win the bowl game, everybody moves forward. It's just a great offseason. So I'm really hoping we can just pull this one off for the rest of the guys.
Well, Brian, Tim and I will be watching with much interest. We hope you enjoy your time down there and the Irish get a victory today.
I hope so too, Evan. Great talking to you both.
Have a good time with your family down there.
You're listening to the Game Day Show with Evan Sharpland, your home for Fighting Irish Football, 960 AM, 96.1 FM, WSBT.
May I have your attention, please? This is Tim McCarthy for the Indiana State Police. You're listening to WSBT, your radio home for Notre Dame football.
The Game Day Show is brought to you by Kurt Outdoor Living, LKQ, Pick Your Part, Zolman's Tire and Auto, and also by our Game Day producer, Tim Growl. To ensure everyone and everything is important, you give Tim a call at 232-9981.
And thank you, Mr. Sharpley. How's Sharpley training going for the holidays?
I got the day off today and the day off tomorrow, which is nice. So two extended weekends back to back. So I'll be ready to go come Wednesday.
Yeah, like I said, you're always ready to go. And another guy that's ready to go is the Hall of Fame voice of our Fighting Irish football team. He's down in Orlando right now. Happy New Year and good morning to Don Crickey.
Good morning, gentlemen. Happy New Year to you. It's rainy in Florida, not heavy rain, kind of a misting rain. We're going to have temperature in the 50s, kind of unusual weather for Florida.
What's Don, what's been the general feel this week and kind of expectations for this game, especially on the Notre Dame side?
Well, I think there's so many unknowns. I think more on LSU's side because of their missing three starting linebackers, including the guy Arden Key, who some pro scouting services have ranked as the number one defensive player in college football. He's not here, and I think he's not even in school anymore. A little vague on what is up, but he's been hurt on and off all season. He won't play. He's a great player, Arden Key, and two other starters are out also. I think all the reports on Notre Dame, of course, we have the suspensions, which will diminish, particularly their receiving core with Claypool out, Stefferson out, but their defense is sound, it's solid, and I think Brian Kelly and his staff are very, very happy with the way the practices have been going. I've always felt, that a bowl game 5 weeks after your last regular season game is really like the first game of a new season as opposed to the last game of the past season.
Don, we just talked with Brian Radigan, and he talked a little bit about the health of the team, and you mentioned the wide receiver unit being a little bit thin. He also talked about tight end, two tight ends out, the running back position as well. What's Notre Dame going to have to do to adjust with the depth chart being a little bit slim there on the offensive side at a few positions, especially the skill side of positions?
Well, we'll see how they game plan. I mean, the pass game has to be picked up by some other players. Brian Kelly talked about, some of the backs are pretty good receivers, although I haven't had a chance to show it very much, like particularly Tony Jones. But when he's talking about Tony Jones being a part of the receiving game, that probably means he won't throw to him once. They usually don't go public with what they're going to do. But I think they're going to mix the ball up. I think they're very confident in the guys they've got. Equanimous St. Brown is a future NFL starter, so their number one receiver is still there. I think Boykin might have to step up. I think, my personal opinion, I think Chris Finks could be a very important part of this game as a slot receiver.
This is WSBT's Game Day. We're talking with Hall of Fame voice of the Fighting Irish, who will be calling today's game at 1 p.m., Don Crickey. Don, has there been any chalkboard material between the two teams? It seems like it's been pretty civil this year. I know they just played, I think you were at the game 4 years ago. You called that game, so they've got some history. But anything been going on back and forth that we haven't heard about maybe up here?
I would say none. Nothing that I've seen that's chalkboard. Everybody's very, praising the other team. I know the coach of LSU, Ed Orgeron, said it's maybe the best offensive line that he's played against in a long time. And he said, without question, the left side of Notre Dame's line, with the two potential first-rounders in McGlinchey and Nelson, is the best 1-2 combination on one side of the line he's ever played against. So that was a nice compliment, but, there's been certainly, and Brian Kelly is very, very complimentary about LSU, and he should be. I mean, they've got players. There's no question about that. You can talk about Alabama and all these different schools and professional players. They have more in the NFL than any other school, LSU, 51.
Don, let's assume that Notre Dame wins this football game today. They move into the offseason, really starting and kicking off this 2018 season. In your mind, what's going to be the number one question that Brian Kelly is going to have to answer for a big fall come 2018?
Well, they want to establish the quarterback position. I can tell you who will beat out Brandon Wimbush as the starter next year. Nobody. Not anybody. Brandon Wimbush is a phenomenal talent. He's only going to get better. As Kelly said, we're scratching the surface with him. Without him last year, he didn't start any games. Didn't play in any, really. They were 4-8, right? Well, with him, they could have a 10-win season this year, including a 5-touchdown win over Southern California. You'll see that happen again maybe 50 years from now.
It's been pretty incredible what he's done on the ground. Certainly the big question mark will be more consistency through the air. I agree with you. I think that he's going to be the guy moving forward. I know there's a number of players, a couple of guys on the offensive line, McGlinchey and Nelson, that'll be gone to the NFL. A couple of guys who could go, Josh Adams being one of them. In terms of those guys that are going to be either graduating or going to the NFL, where do you see, as far as positions of need, where it will be the biggest holes to fill for Notre Dame?
Well, I think obviously, Evan, you have to look at the left side of the offensive line. I'm told that Robert Haynes will go to left tackle, not stay at right tackle, and that Tommy Crane will stay at right tackle. That was a couple of weeks ago, but they think Haynes's got the feet to protect on the left side. And so they got to get new starters there. I think they feel pretty good about their offensive line. And, you know, you don't know until a new season comes, but if Josh Adams would be a tremendous loss if he does go pro this year. And you can't blame him if he does, but this guy's unbelievably productive. Got worn down late in the season because, you know, you take a lot of pounding when you're playing against the schedule Notre Dame plays and you're the targeted running back. So if he goes, that's a big, big hole to fill. Who's going to be the go-to running back? Some guys behind him that, you know, are good, but dude, this guy is, it looks like an NFL starter to me.
Don, you mentioned getting worn down at the end of the year, and Brian Kelly even admitted mentally and physically, you know, guys had lost, I think, a little bit of the juice late in the season. Looking at Notre Dame's schedule in 2018, where they only play two true home games in the last 2 months, what are your thoughts on that schedule change for the Irish?
Pretty unusual, isn't it? I mean, they come out of the gate, it's like this month of September, they have four home games. Only road game they play in September, and they play five games in September. I think it's on the 22nd of September, they play at Wake Forest. But they'll be home for the first three, as you know, Michigan, Ball State, and Vanderbilt, then to Wake Forest. Then home on the 29th to play Stanford. So then, as you point out, late in the season, it's got to be a road team, you know. The road gets tougher, it's lonelier and rougher, as the song goes, and they've got to live up to it. I think one of the tough things they have to do is, you know, play at Yankee Stadium. They're taking a home game and moving to Yankee Stadium. And then the next week, 3,000 miles later, they'll be playing maybe their biggest game of the season at Southern California. So that it takes a lot of doing. But Notre Dame in scheduling, you know, they want this team and the alumni want this team to be seen all over the country. And so they travel more miles than any team in college football. I mean, a lot of teams don't leave their time zone. A lot of them don't like to get on a plane. Big Ten and, you know, Southeastern Conference, mostly bus rides are a lot of them. A lot of their games, but Notre Dame, they go everywhere every year, and it does wear you down some, but that's part of the way Notre Dame plays football. They want to be exposed all over the country.
Yeah, starting in October, it'll be at Virginia Tech. They go play Navy in San Diego. They've got Northwestern in Evanston, then back home to Florida State, then, like you said, Yankee Stadium, and then out to USC. And traditionally, too, we've heard playing in Yankee Stadium is one of the worst field conditions to play in. We've heard multiple players talk about this. So late in the year, they're going to be playing. It's going to be cold as well. So it'll be interesting to see how or if they're able to really focus and finish the season strong.
Well, I think they like the fact that Brian Kelly likes the fact that it will be cold, won't be great field condition, because Syracuse is a team that throws the ball all over the field, and they do it in a dome when they're home. So at Yankee Stadium, you're not in a dome. You're on a different kind of field. They're not used to it either. It is a bus ride from Syracuse to Yankee Stadium, not a short one. But I think the weather plays into it, and I think it plays in Notre Dame's hands.
Tim Growl and Evan Sharpley from the WSBT Studios getting an update from Orlando with Don Crickey. Let me get in the scheduling conversation between you two. Brian Kelly was just quoted the other day that Notre Dame needs to so-called lighten up the schedule so they have more wins so they're better able to compete in people's eyes for the BCS championship. What's your feel on that?
Well, I think there's a lot to that. You know, no matter who you play, at the end they say, what was the record? Well, you were 9-3, you were 10-2. They don't go back, and if you're Alabama, and say, well, like, one of your wins was against Mercer. What's that? And, you know, it's a win. So, but Notre Dame, and Jack Swarbrick knows a lot about the workings of getting to the college football playoff. And the number one determinant is the quality of schedule. And Notre Dame lives up to that like maybe no one else. They play on the road. They play good teams all the time. But you're right. I mean, you can schedule easy games and get more wins piled up. But I think when it comes down to really the assessment, the final the end of the year to see the Final Four teams, who you played and where you played them has a lot to do with it. And Notre Dame stands tall in that area.
We were asking our last two guests, how soon will the speculation start after the final game today of Brian Kelly's name being put in for one of these all these pro openings that are coming up?
I don't think about that. I don't think he's planning to leave, though.
I don't think so either. It's just funny how everybody right away, as soon as there's an opening, Brian Kelly gets mentioned for that. Everybody's talking about Harbaugh. Says the Bears won Harbaugh, Colts won Harbaugh. Do you see anything like that happening where he'd be leaving college football to go back to pros?
I don't think Brian Kelly's leaving Notre Dame, number one. I have no idea what Harbaugh's going to do. He's usually a five-year guy, and then he leaves.
There you go.
What's happened so far is not what he had hoped for at Michigan. I mean, they're a four-loss team this year when they were, at the beginning, they were in the top five, I think, at one point. But, he's a very good coach. He knows pro football. He's coached pro football. He coached a team into the Super Bowl where he got beat by his brother, John, and the Ravens. But so I have no idea what Harbaugh's going to do. I don't know if Harbaugh does, really. But I would tend to think with the contract he's got and the contracts that his assistant coaches have, the good recruiting the Wolverines have done, I don't think he's leaving, but that's just my guess as a fan looking from a distance. I have no idea. I would say with almost absolute certainty Brian Kelly's not leaving.
What an opener of next year, huh, between Michigan and Notre Dame?
Wow. That is really a big opener. September 1, another night game. It'll be a night game for sure. That'll be the attraction of the opening weekend of the season. There's no question about that. And they'll be game planning all off season to play each other.
Hey, Don, thanks so much. Have a great call today, and hopefully we see an Irish victory.
Well, I think they're going to play well. I really do. I think they're healthy. I think they can run the ball. I mean, having three starting linebackers, all NFL quality, out for LSU, and there's going to be some freshmen in there. You're playing against an offensive line that, has got the Joe Moore Award as the best. I think Notre Dame can run the ball today.
We're looking for an Irish victory, and we really appreciate it. We hope you have a great 2018, and we hope to talk to you again September 1st.
All right, guys. Same to you. Happy New Year.
Thank you, Don.
Listeners.
You're listening to the Game Day Show with Evan Sharpley on your home for Fighting Irish Football, 960 AM, 96.1 FM, WSBT. Welcome back to the Game Day Show. I'm your host, Evan Sharpley. You're listening to your home for Fighting Irish Football, 960 AM, 96.1 FM, WSBT. We're here to wrap up the first hour of the day here as we get closer to the kickoff between Notre Dame and LSU, 1 p.m. What are your thoughts, Tim? You got a victory today?
Man.
You don't know.
That's the kind of question they ask on this show? What are you talking about? Yeah, I do.
Well,
say,
you
I think
usually
I
ask
think
me my keys to the game.
Yeah.
What are your three keys to ensure an Irish victory
today?
Oh,
okay. Real simple, almost the same like yours. Is protect the football, establish the running game. And I was going to ask both three of our guests about, our special teams. They haven't made big errors like we've had in other years, but
they haven't really done much either.
No, it's not the old John Goodman days where they fair catch every punt, but it's kind of close. But I think everybody's like, wow, at least we didn't make a bunch of errors this year. We weren't having
AKA last
fumbles.
Year.
Yes, right. Like last year. But man, I'm still waiting. A bigger program like ours, we should be running a kickoff back or two here or there, or getting a block or something like that. We're just not.
So you're saying we need there's got to be a big play on special teams today.
I'm saying there is going to be a big play on special teams today.
Run the football.
And
Josh Adams, does he go over 100 yards today?
I don't think so, because I think they're going to have a balanced attack. I did see where they're going to try to go what we've been hoping all year, put two of them in the backfield at the same time. I think that's kind of dangerous because they're thin.
Right.
But they said they're going to do that, and then they're going to start with two in the backfield and then run Tony Jones out to one of the positions for receiving and stuff, too. But special teams, and I think you're going to have one of these players that are kind of unknown, get their chance in these bowl games. Somebody said that. I think Rocky
Chris
said
Spink.
That. Somebody always comes into a bowl game and has this tremendous, it's like a spring game. Guy runs for something, then he comes back in the fall and doesn't do much. But so what's your take?
You don't
have to give me the keys, but just in general.
No, that was a great job, Tim.
Okay, awesome. All right. And thank you. That's been our bowl game today show. So.
you know, it's for me, it's gonna come down to whether or not Notre Dame can pass the football. I think that they're gonna be able to run to a certain extent. I don't know if it's gonna be the same success they've had in the games where they've really controlled the tempo. You know, this is a good defense.
So let me stop you right there,
okay?
Because before I lose my thought, so do you think they're going to come out and be stubborn that they want to establish the pass and they're gonna call
no
three or four?
Okay. No. I think that they're going to try to really control the line of scrimmage with the run. I think Brandon Winbush is going to be a big part of that run package, and then it's going to open some things up as far as play action pass goes. We'll have a pretty good idea, and what we've seen so far this year is the games where Winbush has been streaky, you know early on whether he's on or he's off.
Right.
You know, it's been he's been able to make adjustments in those games where he wasn't really having a lot of success and then ran the football. But you hit the nail on the head as far as the turnover battle goes. In the games where they struggled, and really if you look at Stanford and you look at Miami, that was the name of the game, and that was the reason why it got out of hand the way it did. If they're able to protect the football, and then defensively, if they can create a couple turnovers too. You look at the games where Notre Dame was successful in blowing teams out.
Mm-hmm.
Defense would force a turnover, and then what happened from there? Offense capitalizes.
Right. And I think, you know, as much trouble as, you know, normally a quarterback, you want to get him short touches. This is my look at it. I think they're going to try to hit Michael Young down and they air out that strong arm or whatever and build his confidence from the long pass and then go back the short pass. But I'm not a quarterback. That's just what I see.
So. Now, I know there's question marks on LSU's side, and Don brought up that their linebackers are out. They kind of have some off-field things swirling with the offensive coordinator might not even be calling plays today.
The whole story for this game, as we talked about not being on the radar,
is the stories
over
both
teams.
A lot of weird, and then, you know,
off-field stories.
Yeah, with Notre Dame's suspensions, with a couple of guys getting hurt, they're thin at some skill positions. So, you know, I don't know, you know, what team. I think the question has been what team is going to show up, and that's on both sides. You know, is the talent that the LSU has every year, guys that go to the NFL, is that going to show up? And then, you know, for Notre Dame, is it going to be the team that controls the line of scrimmage for four quarters, or is it going to be a team that's very inconsistent?
All right, partner, your first score of 2018 or your last score of the 2017-18 season?
I've got a close game, but I'm going to take the Tigers today, 31-27.
31-27.
Which means you'll probably be blowing up my phone.
Yeah, especially since you're being a good daddy now, not watching the game. So you'll say, they did? They scored? What happened? Anyway, hey, I appreciate it. Another great year working together and stuff, and I can tell you how much fun it's always been every year and stuff too, and look forward to next year. And we want to thank all of our guests. We've been really blessed with a lot of good guests this year that take time out of their busy days to share some memories and some stories with you. And we want to thank all of you for listening, and I hope we added something to each of your Notre Dame football days. A big thank you each and every week to Matt Embry, that's right here in our studio producer, keeping us going. Here comes more Citrus Bowl coverage right after the news. It's Darren, Sean, and Eric with everything you need to know about today's matchup of the Tigers and your Fighting Irish on Budweiser's Game Day Sports Beat. Immediately following them, it's the official Notre Dame pregame show. Then it's the kickoff at just after 1 p.m. with Don Creaky and Alan Pinkett on the IMG Network. Enjoy the game and a great 2018. We hope to join you again in a mere 9 months from now for the big Irish Wolverine game September 1st to start the season. All this on your home for Fighting Irish football, WSBT 96.1. For Evan Sharpley, this is Tim Growl. Happy New Year and
go Irish!
Irish.